Then, abruptly, Kurt called out, "Look yonder!" and pointed at a ridge about a mile ahead of them. Pi saw riders vanishing over the crest of the ridge.
"That's them," Griffin said. "Come on, boys."
Now that their quarry was within sight, the rangers poured on the speed. Pi knew it was asking a lot of his horse, but he urged them out to keep up. Instead of heading for the ridge where they had spotted the Indians, Griffin circled his men to the south and led the group along a narrow valley that flanked the route chosen by the Comanches. Pi figured he intended to hit the war party from the side rather than coming at them directly from behind. He had never learned much about tactics during his time with the Confederate Army, but he remembered that a flank attack was usually a good idea. The head of the valley loomed in front of them. As the rangers galloped out onto a long stretch of flat land that ended in a sharp upthrust several miles ahead, Pi looked to his right and saw the Indians riding along behind a herd of at least 50 horses and cattle. Sharp yips of surprise floated through the air to his ears. The Comanches must have believed they had left any pursuit far behind, if indeed anyone had come after them. Now they knew better, and several of the Indians immediately peeled away from the main group and raced toward the rangers. Powder smoke jetted into the air from the muzzles of their rifles, but the range was too great, and it was impossible to aim from the back of a galloping pony. None of the bullets came anywhere near the rangers, as far as Pi could tell. Still, the Indians came on, and after a moment, Griffin yelled a command. The rangers reined in, and three of them dropped from their saddles. They rested their rifles across those saddles as the well-trained horses stood absolutely still. The weapons began to crack. A couple of the Comanches tumbled from the backs of their mounts. Another almost fell, but managed to grab his pony's mane and hang on. The rest of the Indians turned and raced back toward the main group. Griffin waved an arm and shouted, "Turn that herd!" Several rangers sent their horses springing ahead in a mad dash to head off the herd of stolen livestock. The others, including Pi, rode forward again, pressing the Comanches from the left flank. Pi guided his horse with his knees as he lifted the Henry rifle and peppered the raiders with lead, firing several rounds as fast as he could work the lever and squeeze the trigger. He didn't know if any of the bullets found their targets, but at least he was helping to harry the Comanches. Kurt was one of the men trying to head off the herd. Pi saw the lanky ranger firing his revolver. One of the Indians with the herd raced out toward the rangers, carrying a lance. Kurt jerked his horse aside at the last instant as the Comanche warrior tried to ram the lance through his body. At almost point-blank range, Kurt fired his Colt again, and the heavy ball smashed the Indian from his horse and sent him thudding, lifelessly, to the ground. The main part of the war party suddenly wheeled around and charged the pursuing rangers. Evidently, that was just what Griffin had been waiting for.
"Dismount!"
the captain bellowed at the top of his lungs. With a precision to equal that of any well-trained regular cavalry unit, the rangers reined in and swung down from their saddles. Some stood, while others went to one knee. Rifles leapt to their shoulders. Flame blossomed from the muzzles of the weapons as a volley rang out. Pi joined in, cranking the Henry's lever and firing as fast as he could. A veritable storm of lead whipped through the onrushing Comanches. Horses and men fell. Pandemonium reigned. The riders who survived the charge wheeled their ponies and raced toward the herd. But the other rangers had reached the stampeding livestock and turned them back on themselves. Thick clouds of dust clogged the air. Shapes darted through the billowing clouds, and sharp reports of gunfire speared through the confusion. The rangers who had broken the Comanche charge hurried forward, snapping shots at any stragglers. Pi was trotting alongside Griffin when a warrior on horseback loomed out of the dust in front of them. With a shrill cry, the Comanche swung an empty rifle at Griffin. The blow would have crushed the captain's skull, if it had connected. But before the rifle touched him, Pi's shoulder slammed into Griffin and knocked him out of the way. Pi took the blow on his other shoulder. The rifle glanced off, but still hit him hard enough to make his left arm go numb. With his right hand, Pi jabbed the barrel of his Henry under the chin of the Indian, flipping him off the horse as it raced past. The Comanche fell and slammed hard into the ground. The impact didn't knock all the fight out of him, though. The warrior rolled over and started to come up with a knife in his hand. Pi stepped forward and kicked him in the jaw, sending him sprawling backward. The knife slipped out of the Indian's hand, and he landed on his back and lay there with his head twisted at an odd angle. Pi felt his stomach lurch as he realized he had broken the Comanche's neck and killed him. The feeling lasted only a second. Rifle fire erupted close beside him, and he turned to see Griffin shooting another warrior who dashed at them on foot, brandishing a lance. The Comanche went down, blood on his chest where the slugs ripped through him.
"Reckon we're even," Griffin said with a quick grin.
Pi nodded. The swirling clouds of dust began to settle. A few more gunshots popped, but for the most part the fight seemed to be over. As the air cleared, Pi saw three or four of the Comanches racing away over the plains as fast as their ponies would carry them. They were the only survivors from the raiding party, and Griffin called out an order to let them go.
"We want some of them to get back to their home," he said to Pi, "so that they can tell the others, who didn't go on the raid, how bad we hurt them."
Kurt and the other rangers still on horseback had the herd of stolen livestock under control. The horses and cattle ambled back the way they had come. Griffin, Pi, and the other men checked the bodies of the Comanches lying scattered around on the ground. All of them were dead. And in a way, Pi was glad of that. Having seen what had happened at the Harrigan farm, he didn't think the grim-faced rangers would have been in any mood to take any prisoners back with them. Several of the Texans had suffered minor wounds in the battle, but none of them had been killed. They left the bodies of the Comanches where they had fallen. The warriors who had gotten away would return to claim the bodies of the slain, Griffin explained to Pi. The rangers mounted up and headed east, driving the recovered horses and cattle before them.
"Some folks say that when you kill a Comanche like that, you ought to shoot his eyes out before you leave him," Griffin said to Pi. "That way, according to their beliefs, he can't find his way to the next world, so his spirit will be doomed to wander aimlessly for eternity."
"But you don't do that?"
Griffin shook his head.
"Seems like too much. Even after seeing the things I've seen out here, not just today, but plenty of other times. They're dead and can't hurt anybody else. That's enough for me."
"I reckon it would be for me, too."
Griffin looked over at him.
"You handled yourself just fine in that fight, Pi. I could tell you've seen combat before, even if you hadn't told us about being in the army. It strikes me that you'd make a good ranger."
Pi's eyes widened in surprise.
"Me? A Texas ranger?"
He shook his head.
"I just came along today because I happened to be with you fellas and wanted to give you a hand. I never thought about being no ranger."
"Sometimes our fate chooses us, instead of the other way around. Do me a favor, Pi, and think about it."
"Sure," Pi said,
but he already knew what his answer would be. He had come to Texas so he could settle down with Rachel, not be a ranger, and fight Indians and outlaws. But it wasn't hardly safe out here on the frontier, he thought, and until it was, Rachel wouldn't be safe either. No one would be. Without that thin line of men Captain Griffin had spoken of, that gunsmoke barrier between civilization and savagery, Texas would never be safe.
"Sometimes fate chooses us," Griffin had said.
Pi suddenly had the uneasy feeling the captain was right.